The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. Let us rejoice in Jesus our Savior. In his dear name, our newborn Savior, dear hearts aching for Christmas. It's not hard to imagine what Christmas Eve must have been like that first Christmas Eve. We can wait till the sun goes down, which isn't hard in this part of the world, and then light a few candles in the darkness of the sanctuary together, gather family together. Maybe that's what the evening was like. But what was it like during the day? What was that little town of Bethlehem like? Some quiet town in the backward hill country of Judea? Some place where shepherds could fall asleep in the afternoon and just wait? Not then. Not that day. And not anywhere in all the world. Because the emperor back in Rome, thousands of miles away, had made sure that the whole world was active, traveling, bustling. It was Caesar Augustus, the one that took over not long after Caesar, the other one, was killed. Caesar Augustus did something that no one else dared to do. The Roman Empire was still growing by leaps and bounds and conquests throughout the then known world. And he wanted to see how far they had come and how many people he had and how much he could tax them for. So Caesar Augustus issued a decree that there would be a census taken of the entire Roman world, which required that everyone would go back to their hometown to register. And he didn't care about your circumstances in your family or your personal health or any of that. Caesar Augustus thought he was God. He did not realize that he was working into the hand of God Almighty, who raises up nations and takes them down at will, and uses nations even as large as the Roman Empire to carry out his will and bring about his promise in his own good time and in his own way. The Roman Empire at that time already was larger than the whole European Union is today. To get all those countries to register and do something at the same time would be hard. He issued the decree. God caused it to be carried out. It required that that couple that you know so well as Joseph and Mary had to go back to their hometown. And you and I gather tonight because Christmas invites us back to little Bethlehem. You imagine what a shock that must have been for this couple, Joseph and Mary. They had already weathered a shock that no one in the world has ever had to go through before or since. She was expecting. He knew the baby wasn't his, and he was planning sometime before this to quietly divorce her because that was a capital crime under Moses' law. He didn't want to disgrace her. But the angel came. The angel came to Joseph, and the angel came to Mary, and they had the same announcement. She's pregnant, conceived by the Holy Spirit. She's still a virgin. She's never slept with a man, never had carnal relations with a man. But she's expecting the Son of God. Joseph believed it, Mary believed it, and together they went forward with God's plan as God's servants, even though this was disgrace at that time in that part of the world. But imagine what Mary must have felt like. I wish I could see the expression on her face when, after all of that, Joseph comes home from his carpenter shop in Nazareth and he says, "We have to go to Bethlehem. The emperor decreed it. She's great with child. She's due any day. If you travel these days in Israel, you get to travel over modern highways. But it's still amazing to think of people walking through that country, miles and miles through the valleys and over the hills. The hill country from Galilee to the north, to the hill country of Judea in the south, to that little town of Bethlehem, not far outside of Jerusalem." Reading from a translation called the Wartburg Project, I'm on the editorial committee for Popular Review. "And so it happened in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. It was so important that Dr. Luther pegged it as the first one while Quirinius was governing Syria." This didn't happen all the time. "Everyone went to register to his own town. Joseph from Galilee, out of the town of Nazareth, went into Judea to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and line, family line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child." Why to Bethlehem? And why didn't anyone meet them or invite them into their home? This was where their relatives lived. Long, long time ago. I just heard this last year in the village of Nazareth, and I think there's some truth to this, although they can't prove it. They think that the reason that these Judeans from the tribe of Judah were way up in Galilee, which was not part of the Judean holdings under Moses, you know, Joshua, who divided the land, is because centuries before this, when the Israelites came back from the Babylonian captivity, it seems that some from the tribe of Judah decided to settle in this village of Nazareth up in Galilee. It was still a tiny village in the time of Jesus. They settled up there, and centuries later, the decree came from Caesar Augustus for them to go back. You talk about long-lost relatives. Nobody would remember Joseph and Mary anymore from the tribe of Judah. And the city wasn't quiet. The stores were full. The highways were packed with people. Everybody was going back all throughout the world because Caesar Augustus issued a decree. God's son would be born in Bethlehem. And so it was that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The hotels were full. Travelers were coming from all over the world. Would you have given Mary and Joseph a place to stay? Yeah, we all say yes. It's not just the kids. Of course we would. Now we know who they are. But they were strangers. Would you give a stranger a place to stay? Who did you help out today that you did not already know, who wasn't some family member or someone who had already done something good for you? Do you give presents to your enemies? Or only to people that you like? Or maybe returning the favor of somebody that gave something to you? Did you help your neighbor today? Or do we all just sit comfortably in padded pews in a warm building and say, "Well, of course we would have helped Jesus"? Do we? To the neighbors who are strangers that we can't recognize today? There was no room for them in the inn. Is there room for Jesus in your heart? As Christmas calls us back to little Bethlehem, so silently, the wondrous gift is given. Everybody was busy. Would you write the story this way? Would you have God's son born in a stable with the animals where a misstep by a mule and he could have stepped on Jesus? In the straw and the manure of a barn? When was the last time you were on a real working farm? Maybe some of you today. Maybe you're used to it. But would God write the story that way? Would you? Who would you send to make the announcement? Have you noticed in advertising how they love to use celebrities? I just noticed that again last night, that there are certain celebrities with very pretty faces, or handsome if you choose. And you almost can't turn away, because what is this person that I know and maybe admire, what's that one going to say and tell me that's so important today? Isn't that who you go to for announcements that are so important as this? The shepherds? Shepherds aren't even respected today in the world. No offense, but you don't go into the city as a shepherd and expect people to listen to you. God writes the story his own way, as Bethlehem invites us back to fields of glorious praise. There were in the same country shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." God writes his story his way. But this will be a sign for you. Throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit inspired this word, semion in the Greek. It's the word for sign. It's meant to make you stop and look and consider about yourself and about God. "This will be a sign for you" is meant to make you stop and think about the harsh words you spoke to your spouse, the disrespect you showed to your parents, the anger toward your friends, the way you tuned people out at school and at work. Every time the wheels of my heart fall into those ruts of selfishness again, where I'm once again thinking of myself first, "This shall be a sign for you." He wants me to stop and think how much I need a Savior. He wants you to think how much you need a Savior, to see yourself differently in the light of God's Word. But for you, those two precious words, "a Savior has been born for you." That's why I'm so glad to go back to Bethlehem. If God had sent a Savior for all the entire world but left me out, if God had forgiven all the sin of the entire world but left one of yours outstanding, you could not come into the presence of holy and righteous God. He can't stand sin any more than we can stand what comes out of the barn. He cleans it first. He cleanses us. A Savior born for you. You're invited back. Back in the story that's not written as myth and legend as scholars try to tell us, but the story the way God would write it, in his own truth, in his own way. Back to Bethlehem, and to fields of glorious praise. And so it was when the angels departed from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, before nothing else mattered but their sheep. Like maybe nothing else mattered to you but your relationships before with people. What about your relationship with God? What about leaving everything behind as they did because now they had heard the Christmas message and they'd never be the same again? Nothing else mattered. Let's go, they encouraged themselves. Now, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. See, tomorrow may be too late. Don't waste the day. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the time to turn to the Lord. Now is the time to make room in your heart, like the inn that wasn't open for them at the time. You would welcome Jesus and give them a place to stay? Then welcome Jesus into your heart. That God-shaped vessel of your heart can only be healed and can only be at peace when God fills it. There's nothing we can put in there of money or power or fame. God despises all of that when he sends the shepherds with the message of the angels. Sends the shepherds to see the newborn Savior first. And the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, what else could they do? They shared the message which was told to them about this child. And everybody was amazed. They heard that God had sent his son, a Savior for the world. Busy before, but amazed now. They heard it and were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Don't let the Christmas Eve story die on Christmas Eve. Celebrate it Christmas morning too. You can gather with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock or come again all through this coming year and join us. I look forward to the year that lies ahead because I get to meditate, as Mary did, on the Word of God. To go back over the prophecies, the promises that God made over so many years again and again and reminding his people that a Savior was coming. And then to see how God in such precision, in so many precious ways, fulfilled every single prophecy right down to the death of his own son. He made a gift of your guilt when his son took it on himself and died on the cross to wash that guilt away. God's Son became a human being so that he could die in your place and mine and rise again to new life that he gives us in our baptism and by faith in Jesus our Savior. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Every day is bright and beautiful. A new day with joy in your heart because Jesus lives there. Joy for your neighbor as you share with them what they really need to hear in the good news that a Savior born for you was born for all. Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Yes, just as they had been told. Glory be to Jesus. Amen.